Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to Grilling JR. This is Paul Bromwell back once again, and I'm joined by the voice of wrestling, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Jim Ross. JR, how you doing this week?
I'm good, man. It's been a busy time in my career, but having a great time. Busy's always good.
Yes.
And in my view, especially at my stage of life, when you're 70 and you're still doing what you love, you're very blessed. And one is, as am I. So I'm lucky in that regard. But, you know, Las Vegas was, for those that caught what we were doing, seemed to be extremely well received. And it's just, there's just nothing that beats a big crowd that want to be there. They want to engage. They want to support. They're not looking for negatives. They're looking to come enjoy the presentation. So I think that's just great. And it was very motivational, to say the least. I think Tony and Excalibur and I did some of our best work, and we certainly enjoyed doing it and enjoyed doing it together. So in any event, been a busy week in Vegas. We've moved on now to Los Angeles, and soon I'll be moving on back to Oklahoma for 3 or 4 days of R&R before we head to Kansas City.
And you said it right, busy, but you're right. Nothing beats a hot crowd, a good crowd, an engaged crowd. I'm glad you had fun, because you being busy, JR, means we're getting to enjoy you as fans listening to the commentary.
Oh, so.
And so, man, it's just been good. I'm glad you're getting to do all this fun stuff. Still enjoying wrestling, man, and that's what it's all about. Speaking of wrestling and enjoying and stars and all the good stuff, let's jump into it this week. We're going to be discussing Mrs. Foley's baby boy. His birthday is right around the corner, June 7th. The hardcore legend will be 57 years young. And so to celebrate that, we're discussing mixed time in WCW with you today, JR.
Good. 57. I used to have, you know, I had a 57 Chevy at one point in my life. My favorite car.
57 what color?
Chevy. It was a dark green, two-door, 283, three-speed on a column. Hottest car in school.
Do you have any classic cars now? Do you have a collection or anything?
No, I don't.
Nah. Okay. Well, no. You never know. Some guys might have something.
Too much work.
Yeah.
But when you maintain two households, one in Norman, Oklahoma, and one in Jacksonville Beach, you got to have wheels. So that's my collection.
Just there you go.
Get me around. And I've never been a real car guy, quite frankly. But in any event, 57 years young for Mick. And a lot of those 57 years, I've known him very well.
You have. This is just another. We had a lot of fun talking Jake Roberts last week, and your careers woven together throughout the years with Jake. Same thing here, Mick Foley. And we're going to get into this. We're going to talk specifically his days as Cactus in WCW. But man, he really began making a name for himself in world class and in the Continental promotion in the late 80s. And Cactus Jack, or should we say Cactus Jack Manson, you remember that. He made his debut for WCW on December 16th, 1989, on the World Championship Wrestling Program. And JR, if you could just share with everybody, our audience here, how you were aware, first made aware, or introduced to Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, before this whole WCW debut.
Well, Mick was a darling of the wrestling magazine, so he got a lot of coverage. To his credit, he made himself accessible and a fun interview. I saw most of Mick's early work when I was living in Oklahoma, and they were on cable and out of Dallas, world class. And so I made a point, I think it was on, I want to say Saturday night, 10 to midnight or something like that for a central time zone. I might be wrong, but something along those lines. It was accessible to me and it worked, it fit into my schedule. So I tried to catch that as often as I could, because again, we used a lot of those guys over the years from Fritz's office and Fritz von Erich's office in world class. So that I was a, kind of a regular viewer of that product. And I was a fan of Mick's work. I know that early on, when we first started working together, the one thing he wanted to do was to get rid of the Manson aspect of his name. He wasn't a big fan of the Cactus Jack Manson. He may have been when he first started. It may have seemed like it worked. Maybe the promoter liked it, whatever. But he didn't like it. And so that's a little known fun fact. The Manson aspect of Mick's TV persona was not something he embraced. And so we quit using it. Simple. We didn't have a meeting. We didn't have to have a, you know, a quorum. The talent didn't like it. So let's don't use it. It's not going to make any difference. He's not over yet anyway. He's not clearly established. So if we're going to do it, now's the time to do it.
Yeah. That makes sense. And it completely makes sense why you wouldn't want that attached to him as he continues to move up the ranks. So Mick has talked about how you and Jim Cornette really hyped him up to Ric Flair and Kevin Sullivan on his first night there at Center Stage. Do you remember that? Do you remember any of those, that conversation, how you felt after you first saw him there and talking with Rick and Kevin?
Well, Nate and Sully were not as familiar with Mick as Cornette and I. And of course, Cornette and I, being wrestling junkies, couldn't get enough of the product. So consequently, we were watching everything. And then when I lived in Atlanta, you know, I had the luxury of the late Joe Pedicino's wrestling block. And they had, you know, four or five, six different shows on every Saturday night. I think it was Channel 69 or something along those lines in Atlanta. So I got to consume a lot of product there. Of course, I was in a position at the booking committee where we were looking for new talent. You want, like I said here before, wrestling fans like new. And so we were looking for new. And we believe, Cornette and I certainly believe, that that Cactus fit that bill.
Yeah, no, that's fun. Joe Pedicino knows. I remember Joe Pedicino, so that's a fun name from the wrestling past. But Mick leaves a big impression here in his first appearance. It's he and Rick Fargo. They lose to the Steiners, and after the match, Cactus and Fargo would fight with each other, and Cactus leaves him laying with his signature running elbow from the apron to the floor. JR, we have a clip here I want to share with you in our first clip of the week. We have three of them. This is the first. Let's take a look at Cactus here.
His tag team partner is from New Mexico. He weighs in at 234 pounds, Cactus Jack Manson. Their opponents making their way into the ring area. They are the current World Tag Team Champions from the Motor City of Detroit, Michigan. At 525 pounds, Rick and Scott Steiner. These are the Steiner brothers.
Uh-oh, here comes.
Ooh, Frankenstein.
The Steiners asking their little friends to come into the ring. World Tag Team Champions still up. Have won it. Let's keep our cameras right here for just a moment before we go to the slow-mo. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Fargo, now Fargo and Manson are fighting. Fargo and Manson are fighting here.
I don't blame Nick for a bit. Put the boots to him, Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack from Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Looked great against the Steiners. Now what's he going to do here? He's got him outside. Backbreaker right on the floor.
What you doing?
No, he's not. Right off the head. Good Lord.
What is wrong with this? There's something not right.
Man, we need some help for Rick Fargo. Cactus Jack Manson. I'm consequences, New Mexico's representative just did something breathtaking. Look at this, Kevin.
He jumps from the apron. 12 feet in the air onto the cement floor with an elbow. What I said before, there's something definitely wrong with this cat.
We'll hear more from Cactus Jack fans, but when we come back.
12 feet in the air. I measured it just
12 feet. No, but man, that doesn't feel good on the old hip.
No,
he didn't land on the pad either. He extended
years of doing that. Didn't do Mick any favors, quite frankly, but it made him stand out. He found something as simple as that. It's not simple. It's simple to execute.
Yes.
But it's not simple to survive. So, Flair bought into Mick. Seems best I recall, Sullivan certainly did. And Cornette and I were big boosters. And so that's how Mick ended up getting a job. Is that, we thought he had something. And I've been in that corner and of that sentiment for decades now.
And dude, this is exactly what he would always do. This was an early trait of Mick. He would leave his partner laying after the matches, but this was something unique and different to your point. It was new and it got him over with the audience to your point.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about Mick, as a writer, as a babyface, as a heel, he always connected with his audience, because him being a lifelong fan and having his quote unquote dream job was something that he really embraced. So his ability to connect with the audience was extraordinary. And that's one thing that I would suggest any wrestlers, and I know a lot of wrestlers listen to our podcast and we appreciate it. You got to learn, or you got to acquire the skills of connecting with your audience in whatever role you may be in. And so Mick learned that at an early age. He was so impressionable. He's smart. Mick has a college degree and his dad was a teacher. He comes from an educated family. So I'm just thinking that Mick was destined to do all these things. But we all were kind of concerned that, can we keep him healthy enough to get there?
Right. Well, JR, Mick and Kevin Sullivan, speaking of Sully, as you would say, would even join up with Buzz Sawyer, and they would call themselves Sullivan's Slaughterhouse. Boy, what a trio. But great for Cactus because, as you said, he's under that learning tree, especially of having Kevin Sullivan in his corner, right?
Yeah, well, Sully's a great psychologist, booker, creator, content. And Mick was still very young at that time, very impressionable. So I thought he was under the right limb of the learning tree, quite frankly, with Kevin. They got along well. Like any other creative entity, they don't always agree, but they always agreed that they're traveling in the right direction and that they're doing this because of what they believe in and as far as the product was concerned. Sully's old school as hell, and Mick was too, to a very large degree.
Bam Bam Bigelow would end up replacing Kevin Sullivan in that group. So I'm sorry, Sawyer in that group. So you have Bam Bam, you have Sullivan, and you have Mick Foley. Man, what a group of talented individuals at that time.
Yeah, it was a great collection of heels and guys that were hungry. I don't think anybody in that group was hungrier than Mick. Mick was very motivated to be a success, take better care of his family, better than the normal wrestling lot. So he was very, very motivated, was Mick. But he's always been that way, even when he made it, when he was quote unquote over in his WWF years. He still worked like he was broke. And that's one thing a lot of guys used to laugh about there. Foley's taking these bumps like he's broke. That's just his style. Even when he was making big money and he had big money, he wrestled like this was almost like a audition every time out, which I found to be really admirable, quite frankly.
And I got to say right here too, man, what a great writer he has become. He's written a few great best-selling books.
Yeah.
One of the first wrestling books I wrote was his Have a Nice Day, man. It's so well written. So, for a guy that's taken so much abuse, even to the head, so well-spoken, well-written.
The strongest argument that I ever got in with Mick was a mild shouting match, which is totally unlike him and me, was in my office in Stanford. And I was called there to meet with the lawyer, our lawyer, Ed Kaufman at the time, chief legal counsel for WWE, and to give Mick his check and to go over the contract, because the book deals are complicated, and they have a lot of there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. So in other words, a lot of people are going to get some of your money. And if you don't read the contract and you're shocked by how the distribution was done, it can be startling. And it startled Mick. He had thousands of dollars that he didn't get to claim because it was contractually, he had the publisher got some money and this guy got some money. And so, but he didn't, I've always said this is so totally unlike him that I'm almost positive he didn't read all the fine print. And it wasn't fine print. It was a typical deal for publishing.
Yeah.
Oh, they screwed Mick. You know, no, it was it's a typical publishing template. And he just didn't read all of it. And when he got the bad news, it totally shocked him that there's a lot of money left on the table, so to speak. So that's the only time we've ever had a crossword, quite frankly. And then we got it all straightened out. He just had to go back and understand the contract. And I guess it worked out okay, Paul, because he kept writing books.
So, JR, one of those moments that I couldn't wait to share with you and talk to you about, because I have a clip for it as well, was the most memorable moment of Cactus Jack's first WCW run. And unfortunately, it was a horrible match with Mil Mask Arce at the Clash of the Champions in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's February 6, 1990, for those that want to go back and check it out on the Peacock. Cactus takes a spectacular flat buck. Back bump on the concrete floor, however, and you and Cornette, you're on commentary together, and you guys are like, man, his career might be over. Cornette says Cactus Jack is dead. So here we go. Let's watch the clip, and then we'll get into this a little bit. Let's check it out together.
Right over the top. Cactus Jack, a man of rare intelligence.
Wait a minute,
very rare when he shows any.
Cactus Jack is going off after Gary Capetta, the world's most dangerous announcer. Run him right out of his wait a minute! Cactus, he doesn't pay attention to where he's going. And he's blaming all the fans here in Corpus Christi.
I'll tell you something, the breakfast room at a honeymoon hotel isn't as vacant as Cactus Jack's head. He is an idiot.
Hey, I wouldn't say he's an idiot. I'd say he's unorthodox. I'd say he's strange. I'd say he's not all there, but he's definitely not an idiot. I mean, when you got guys like the Steiners, Rick Steiner stayed up all night one time studying for a urine test. Now, that's stupid.
Well, Bull Nelson there by Mil Mascaris. Cactus Jack's backed him in the corner. The cheap shot, the elbow right to the head. All of our right hand, and Mil Mascaris fights right back very quickly.
And Cactus is staggering. He looks a little more goofy than usual.
Bill looked great, you know.
We're in Corpus
Christi.
Looking for all his crowd
fans.
Support.
Bill,
I'm
a wrestling legend,
all
especially
his fans
in the,
here. There's Cactus's book. I am an urgent need.
Especially in the,
how true.
You know, those Latin markets like Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
His fans. There's nothing wrong with the Mexican people.
Double leg pickup.
You know, I feel like everybody ought to own one or two of them.
Trying to go for a Boston Crab. And Cactus Jack got to the ropes. That necessitates the break.
Yeah, this is not a very good match. Bill had kind of lost his edge. And, you know, he had paid his dues. My God, he probably was 50 years old when this match
took
place.
Yeah, had to be.
Always looked great.
And there's a cheap shot downstairs, a kick right to the midsection. Follows it up with a big right hand to the back of the head.
Cactus Jack doesn't have the best win-loss record in the NWA. You know why I think that is, Jim? He's just like a guy like Dr. Death. He needs guidance. He has all the skills and all the ability. Cactus Jack just needs somebody to tell him which direction to go in. Right now, Mascaris out on the floor. Hey, Cactus Jack could be setting him up for that big elbow. We've seen him do it before. The elbow right off the apron of the ring. He's setting him up for it, but Mascaris doesn't look stunned. Wait. Mascaris getting back in the ring. Cactus Jack doesn't know he's there. What in the world?
Oh, God, right on the concrete.
Oh, no.
Right on the back of his head on the concrete.
No. Cactus Jack is dead. He's done it this time. I've never seen anything like that.
His head just smacked that concrete. He was away from the mats. That's a concrete floor, fans.
He went 10 feet out onto the concrete. No human being could get back up after that. But he's doing it.
There was no mats there. He fell right on the back of his head on the concrete. Mascaris suplexed him back in the ring. And now the man of a thousand masks will go up to the top. Will his high-risk move pay off? Cactus Jack is in la-la land. High cross body off the top. Mel Mascaris is going to pin Cactus Jack.
The winner of the match, Mel Mascaris.
I think there's no doubt, Jim, that the fall from the ring apron is what stunned Cactus. I can't believe that any human being could get back in the ring after that fall. It was only a formality for Mascaris to come off the top rope.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Hey guys, are you looking for a great Father's Day gift idea? I know I was, and I found it a couple of years ago with Paint Your Life. With Paint Your Life, you get a hand-painted portrait created to fit almost any budget, and it's a great gift idea for your mom, your dad, or both. You see, Paint Your Life transforms your photos into a one-of-a-kind, beautiful hand-painted portrait done by professional artists. You can upload a photo to create anything you can imagine, maybe in a special location or a favorite pet. There's lots of options. You pick the artist, the medium, and you even get to work with the artist to make sure it's perfect. You get started in less than 5 minutes, and you can get the portrait in as little as 2 weeks. You can give the most meaningful gift you've ever given at PaintYourLife.com, and there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word ROSS to 87204. That's ROSS to 87204. Text ROSS to 87204. Paint Your Life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates may apply. See paintyourlife.com/terms for details.
All right, JR. First of all, let's talk about that bump. I mean, that sickening thud, as you would say.
He had to do one, man. He couldn't keep it out of his system. He's compelled. His DNA, all that stuff, he's going to get that damn spot in come hell or high water. And he did. And it made the match, quite honestly.
Yes.
So it's tough to try to talk and tattle and toning it down a little bit when some of the things they do along these lines, such high risk, are so good.
It's one of those moments where the guy that lost the match ends up getting over more because of a spot like that.
Well, I've heard it said, you know, over the years, it's just kind of wrestling lore. You can go over or you can get over. You can win or you can get over. And I can assure you that getting over is much more important than going over. So, but I thought the match was just average. You know, Mill didn't have his working shoes on that night, apparently, but,
I think you were saying too, while the clip was playing, you think they obviously brought him in. You're in Corpus Christi. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a big audience for that.
Yeah. We want to sell tickets. Sure. And we thought Mill being a wrestling legend, especially in the Hispanic community, would help us there. And I think he probably did. I don't remember that well, but I'm sure he helped us a little bit, but, we were a little bit past Paul, the era of, Mill being at his hottest. And because this match with the Cactus was cold. There was no angle, big angle, long-term angle leading into it. So it was a little bit of a unique scenario there.
So I want to get into Ric Flair a little bit here because he's booking during this time. And Mick has said Flair didn't really show much of a liking to his work, telling him you'll be in a wheelchair by the time you're 30 years old, Mick. Was Flair, in your mind, too much of a traditionalist to get this character? Or is Flair right in thinking, hey, Cactus, you're already just giving your body way too much abuse?
Well, I think that Nate's had a good point. Moderation. and keep those moves. If you're going to do them, and Mick's going to do them, then lessen the amount of them and keep them special. So the ones that the audience sees are, you know, are keepers, and it's not overdone. This, we used, you know, I said this a lot in talking to talents about timing and the pacing of a match. If you are wrestling faster than the audience can process what you are doing, you got to slow down a little bit. And that could be a half a step here, a half a step there. It could be registering, selling, reacting, but you've got to slow down a bit. It's no different than a stand-up comedian. I've used this before here on this show. If you're a stand-up comedian and you go out and do your set, you lead off with one of your best jokes, and then you tell your joke, and before you give your audience the opportunity to process the joke and react, you're telling your second joke, and you just wasted the first one. So I think that's kind of what Mick's issue was that sometimes he did too much. And I don't know that Flair was such a traditionalist in that respect. It never seemed like they got along that well. And I'm not so sure what it was. It just may have been a personality conflict. Have no idea. But there was some issues there that were not real positive.
Well, then another change happens, which isn't exactly in Foley's favor either. And that is Ole Anderson replaces Flair's Booker. And then they don't really hit it off. Foley and Ole. There you go. There's two names, Foley and Ole. They don't hit it off. And so he gives his notice on June 10th of 1990. And that would be his last match after for a while in WCW. Lost to Norman the Lunatic. There's a name at a house show in Sunrise, Florida. And he wouldn't return until over a year later on August 11th, 1991. So again, first it's he and Flair. Now it's he and Ole. Is it just a frustration with the management here in WCW? They don't see the potential in Cactus, or what are you thinking?
Well, I think those two guys wanted to influence Cactus changing his style. They thought he was taking too many bumps and making it too hard to follow. So, again, they make a valid argument.
Yeah.
They, meaning our pronoun boy, he said he beat him. He beat him. Okay. But Ole would be more the traditionalist than Flair. And Ole thought Cactus was doing too much, making it too hard to follow, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing is, as a booker, you've got to look at the shelf life, i.e. the longevity of your talent. And if you've got a talent that's taking all these chances, and it's getting battered and bruised and beat up and staggering to the ring, but dragging a foot or whatever, I mean, seemingly always looking like Mick was in pain. It was restricted. Then Ole would look at that situation and say, well, we can't get any money out of this guy because he's not going to be able to work. And so Ole makes a valid point. I don't know if it was a deal breaker point, but it became a deal breaker. And Mick saw that he wasn't going to get anywhere philosophically with Ole. And so instead of engaging in a unwinnable argument, it might be best just to move on.
Yeah, and I think he takes that break for a year, comes back, like I said, August of 91. And it seems like this would be probably a good time for him to get away for a little bit, maybe, and try to figure things out. Maybe there could have been some stuff left on the table. But to your point, he's got to figure out how to work with this group or this team and see if maybe he can't figure out where his character's headed.
Yeah, he's got to change the way he thinks about some things. Compromise is a good thing if you're a sports entertainer, pro wrestler, whatever. You got to be able to compromise. And I think Mick finally, at different points of his career, adhered to that somewhat. But he didn't have any trouble staying booked. You know, I kept in touch with him. I knew that if we had a chance to get him back, we would. It all depended on who was in the booking chairs and the creative components. But I always looked at Mick as a friend, so I kept his number and we'd text or whatever occasionally, but I knew at some point in time our paths would cross again.
You look at it in today's terms, in today's world too, and some of these folks that have been released, these wrestlers that have been released from the big time companies, some of those individuals, if you talk to them today, would say those were some of that's the best thing that happened to them for their career. They've been able to reinvigorate themselves, rejuvenate their careers on the independents and rebrand themselves. And now they're making more money than ever. And so, you know, sometimes you can use that downtime period. It's not, oh, woe is me. It's all about your mindset and attitude. And if you're willing to grow and learn, it can be a big, big push for you.
Absolutely. Growing and learning. Key words to live by pro wrestling.
So JR, as we talked about, taking some time off here, Cactus goes back on the independents for a while and works for Herb Abrams UWF. He goes on tour for All Japan as well for Baba, even wrestling Andre the Giant in a tag team match over there. And were you staying in contact with Mick during this time?
Yeah. You know, casually, not every week, but casually, because again, as I said earlier, I knew our paths would cross again. I didn't want to lose contact with him.
Well, he wrestles also for Eddie Gilbert in Tri-State Wrestling, which, by the way, for those of you that are familiar, that was the forerunner to ECW in Philly.
ECW.
This said to get Jack back on the radar of WCW.
Me and Devon.
How involved were you? And I'm sure you're very involved, but I want to kind of hear a little bit about your story in getting him back into WCW, because he's immediately pushed into a feud with Sting.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it, there were very few people in that booking area, booking world, that didn't like Mick. You had Ric Flair, who was not a high on him, and you had Ole Anderson, who was even less high on him because of his style. Not his character, his integrity, his ability to wrestle, promos, none of the things that seemingly would be more important. But Mick was... When we had the opportunity to bring him back, I don't remember any pushback, because the guys that were making the decision before were not in those positions.
And it's similar to what we talked about with Jake Roberts last week. He's brought in and it's, you know, we're going to strap the rocket strip to him right away. This time he is starting right with Sting, which is great. You need to feed Sting. You need to feed him those hot heels, and Foley's perfect for this year. And it's got to be the perfect starting point for him coming back in to make the big splash.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a heel, Mick Foley, who would you ideally want to wrestle? Sting.
That's right.
The top babyface. So, and it was cool that his previous stints there or anywhere else had no bearing on him getting a real good spot on the card, specifically working with Sting. So it was good.
Let's talk about another maniac, because he's paired and forms an alliance with Abdullah the Butcher. And they had a famous moment at Halloween Havoc where Abdullah gets electrocuted in the electric chair. And there's even a feud between the two after. What did you think of the pairing of Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus Jack?
Didn't have an issue with the pairing. I'd rather have seen an old school All Japan knockdown drag out fight, because that just tells me that the bookers are paying attention and putting both competitors in a position that they can best succeed. And you're not going to have Abby, I want you and Mick to go out there and do a Briscoe Funk match.
Right.
Well, it's just the same. It's just an extreme example, but I'd rather have seen that than the some of the ridiculousness that we had. That was a Turner Home Entertainment thing. The Halloween Havoc theme, we took it too far. And to show another human being allegedly getting electrocuted, it just took you right out of your sense of disbelief. So I didn't like that angle. I thought it was taking things a little too far on the sports entertainment side.
So, JR, we move into 1992, and Cactus and Sting would have an absolute show stealer of a match at Beach Blast 92. It's Falls Count Anywhere. And this is a show that you're going to cover here in future in the next couple of weeks in detail. So I don't want to steal too much thunder for that, but is Cactus up there for you as one of Sting's top opponents?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they had respect for each other, which you got to have. I think you don't have to like somebody to have a great wrestling program with them. You don't need to exchange those Christmas cards or those holiday cards or anything along those lines, things that are normal. But you got to respect your adversary because he's got your life in his hands. You damn sure better respect it. This is not leapfrog, drop down, headlock. You know, this is gets to be some serious stuff that's hard to execute. So I would say that, I mean, Mick had a lot of great, especially in WWF, WWE. Oh, yeah. He has some tremendous opponents. But certainly looking at the wide scope of things, Sting's rivalry, if you will, with Mick was extraordinary. Just really, really good. They liked each other, Paul. You don't have to, as I said, but you got to respect each other, and they damn sure respected each other. And Sting was willing, a willing participant to go along with some of the things that Mick was doing, even though most of the hurt was on Mick's side.
So I got to ask, JR, was it prior to this, during this feud, or sometime in the future, maybe into the WWF, WWE days, that you realized this guy is world champion material?
I don't know where it was along the way. I don't know the date or things like that, being facetious here somewhat. But it is in that era that he started really turning heads, having really solid matches with various opponents. I mean, you go from Abdullah to Sting, and you pull it off somehow. They're not, they have nothing in common. So you got to be flexible. And you got to be, somebody that's got skills. And we saw over and over again that Mick had great skills because he's working with guys that had hugely different styles. So, but along the way, Mick always had the ability to cut a great promo. I think he got better at it as time went on. At least that's all of our dreams, is that we want to get better at what we do. If you're in the broadcasting or any kind of performance art, you want to get better at it.
That's right.
And I think Mick got better at it as he went along, and he could probably still roll out there right now and cut as good a promo as anybody in the business.
Now, you hit it nail on the head there. Jake Roberts joins the fold, which we discussed last week a little about him, but he and Cactus would form an alliance around this period. And to your point, this is also the period where we start to see him really shine with those promos. And it sounds like you were enjoying his style of promos. I mean, for a character, he was able to get into character. What were you thinking as he was delivering? Because we're going to watch a clip here in a minute of you on the mic with Cactus Jack. It's fun.
But well, I think that I think the thing about it is that Mick was a great storyteller bell to bell. I think we've established that. I think most fans will agree with that. Was his style at times extreme? Yes. But nonetheless, he was always a great storyteller in the ring. The great stars are able to take that skill set, that level of a skill set, transfer it from the physical bell to bell to a promo scenario. And Mick, so some guys game a lower one or the other. Mick stayed level, both really, really good. But his promo abilities was just, I don't remember him doing bad promos. I really don't.
Well, speaking of memories, we're going to bring back a memory for you here, JR. It's you, it's Cactus Jack, and you're together, and let's check it out together.
But Cactus Jack, who has a world title match signed live in primetime here on TBS. It'll be at the Clash of the Champions on Wednesday, September the 2nd.
I have a question for you. Have you seen Big Van Vader lately?
Certainly have.
He's eating people up. One at a time, two at a time. It doesn't seem to matter. He's an instrument of destruction, and people are being hurt. And I like that. So in my mind, September 2nd, I'm training for a match with Big Van Vader. But Ron Simmons, if you are still champion, those are the two biggest letters in the English language for you. If you're still the holder of the world's heavyweight champion, then it'll be a battered and beaten Ron Simmons that I'll be taking on. And I like that too, because it brings about to my mind, Ron, and I want you to listen. The last time we met not too long ago, yeah, things got out of hand, and it was a power slam on the concrete that put an end to that match. Can you imagine the impact? Well, Ron Simmons, you don't have to imagine because you were there. You saw the blood spill out of my mouth, didn't you, Ron? And you saw the fans look in shocked silence. But then you looked down, you saw something else you weren't counting on. You saw Cactus Jack smile. and you wondered like everybody else and like you have and like wrestling fans have asked themselves for years, what am I still doing alive? How am I still walking? Well, destiny is not finished with Cactus Jack. Big Van Vader, Ron Simmons, it doesn't matter. September 2nd, the Clash of the Champions. Neither one of you ought to count on walking out with that championship belt. In fact, neither one of you ought to count on walking out at all. Big Bang!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back up to Rhubarb.
What a nice haircut I had.
You did, and you even had the little scarf in your suit. Looking dapper.
I was styling and profiling, you know, big time TVS, national television. Nick said that he just told a great story.
He did.
He got everybody over he talked about. He gave you reasons to believe the plausibility of this whole scenario. And he didn't have to talk about himself the whole damn time.
Mm.
I listened to his promos as if he were writing and providing me a new chapter in a new book. And he was a great storyteller.
And it was different. It wasn't like you said last week with Jake Roberts. It was different. It wasn't a yeller, but he was telling it in his own way, very different delivery than anything that we have ever been used to. And it was unique. And he had that on his side and it sucked you in as a wrestling fan.
Yeah. He was smart. Again, he had the innate ability to connect with his audience. That promo, if you're a fan of wrestling, you're a fan of Mix, a fan of the booking, of Vader's involvement, Ron Simmons' involvement, all these things. That's all about the title. You know, we try to make sure that the title meant something, and it did. And Mick was putting it over all along in that promo that he did. So that's just a really good example of how good he is. If you go back and dissect what he said, he told us a great story that should have gotten people interested in the storyline, the angle. And I think it did. You know, I like I said, his promos were spot on, and the better, the higher the match got, the more important the match seemed to be, the more he Mick delivered.
Well, JR, as we get into 1993, Cactus turns babyface, and it's a good freshen up for the character. I'm sure Cactus likes that he has different guys to work with at that point too, right?
I think that's usually the main reason that guys endorse their own turn, is that it gives them a whole different group of guys to wrestle. So they got new dancing partners. And the other thing is that fans just grew to love Cactus for his tenacity and his courage and what he put his body through, all for them, the fan. So I know that Cactus, he never had an issue with it. A lot of guys who, I'm a heel through and through, that's what I'm going to be forever, blah, blah, blah. Well, no one should ever say that, because nothing's forever. And it's probably a good thing at times to freshen up your act, like Mick's doing right here.
One of those, of course, was none other than Vader. And this is just after you had left WCW, Jim. But I'm sure you've seen and heard about some of their bloody brawls. What was it about Cactus that just brought out the best in wrestlers? My goodness.
Because he didn't have slow down gears. He didn't work at a pace that was going to, make you feel you had to slow down, or you're out of your game, or out of your league, whatever it was. They knew that Mick would bring it, and that he would be physical, and that the pace of the match would be much more indicative for a smaller wrestler than a 300 pounder. So I just think guys knew that when they're booked with Mick, we got to get ready to go, because there's not really any telling what he's going to do. And again, most guys in that era weren't sitting around all afternoon in a isolated spot in the arena and going over every spot in your match. They just weren't. And I'm not knocking everybody that does that, because that's just the way of the world now. It's changed. And I'm here. I'm not the guy to step in and say, I'm going to change the wrestling world. Well, that's just stupid. It's not going to be changed. If it is, it's going to be changed at a very small pace. But if you're going to be booked with Foley, you knew you better bring your business, bring your lunch, as Daddy would say.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be there a while.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about
how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Well, it's a year later, and he loses half of his freaking ear, wrestling Vader in Germany. Everybody knows the story. What do you remember of it, and do you remember, how do you remember hearing about it? Were you talking to Cactus or Mick at this time? Talk to us about that time.
I think I heard about that through somebody that was there. I can't recall, maybe an agent or referee or somebody like that. You know, the spot is not new. The spot has been around forever. But a lot of guys just didn't want to screw with it because the ropes of those cables are very tense, is a double entendre, I guess. But it's just hard to fathom how hard that bump is to pull off without killing yourself or tearing half your ear off. That's what happened there. And there was so much footage of it, too. Got out there real quick. If it had been in today's internet, online world, it would have been even bigger. But because the ear was bouncing around in a ring, somebody got it, put it in their pocket. I mean, maybe Gary Capetta might have done that. I'm not sure. But that was, Mick taking it one step too far and trying one thing he shouldn't have tried on that particular night, even though it was not a novel, new, brand new deal. He felt like it fit into the match. And I always thought that Mick brought out the best in Leon Vader. I really did. Leon didn't expect that match to be pretty, and it wasn't going to be pretty, but it was going to be unpredictable, and it was going to be physical, and it was going to make you watch. And I think that's the key thing.
Were you keeping in contact? I know you're busy. You're working for WWF at the time, but did you keep in contact at all with Mick around this time period? Did you still
keep a text here and there?
Yeah.
We wrestling people are strange. I'll see guys coming up at Starcast or whatever it may be, and it's amazing that we generally talk about the last time we talked, and then we wonder, why have we waited so long? It's just the nature of that beast in that world. It's not known for its warm and fuzzies, but I would text him and keep in touch that way, just let him know I was thinking about him, and I hope he was doing all right.
You mentioned it, Starcast, and it is happening again this year. You'll see Mick there. Mick's going to be there. So there you go. I think he's doing a live stage show this year at Starcast. So
should be great.
Connie's putting on another big time event, so it ought to be fun.
Big time Connie.
Big time Connie. That's what we're calling him now. Well, JR, I want to talk about Cactus and want to talk about world champion. He didn't accomplish this in WCW, but in your estimation, do you think he would have been a great WCW world champion?
Oh, yeah, I think Mick, it sounds, I'm placating him because I love him so much that I believe he'd do well in any role assigned. He can play, in other words, put him on the field and give him a jersey, put him in the game and let him play. And that would include being the WCW champion. A Cactus Jack-driven title run would have been extremely entertaining. And, the promos themselves would have been worth, quote unquote, the price of admission. So yeah, I wish Mick had gotten that opportunity, but politically speaking, the look and all of the bullshit that people they make up excuses when something is not their idea. That's the worst thing about pro wrestling. If sometimes the decision makers that are doing the booking, if a certain topic is not their idea, you're never going to get it through. So, and that's just terrible. It's unfortunate and it shouldn't happen that way, but it does more often than not. But Mick would have made a great WCW champion.
It kind of feels like as we wrap up this portion of the episode that Cactus during his run, that time period in WCW was the perfect epitome of the company at the time. When you think about it, he was a guy who's willing to do anything wrestling wise with his push. He was good on the mic. We just heard an example of that. He can work. But it just never got going for him there.
Yeah, well, again, it's like politics. It's what side of the aisle you're on. And Mick apparently inadvertently, and not his fault, was on the wrong side of the aisle more often than not. Just from the standpoint, somebody didn't like his look or something he may have said out of humor or something that took them the wrong way. And they also saw a guy working harder than them, doing all he can to get over. And I'm not so sure everybody on the roster could say the same thing, honestly.
Isn't it something that could just be a comment or a conversation or something that just went awry once or twice, and that's all it takes? It's just like in the regular business world, too, with the wrong leader or the wrong person, the one over you. And that's all it takes that can bury you for a little bit, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
It is.
It's not changed. I got into business in 1974. It was that way then. Here we are at 2022. It's that way now.
Well, JR, let's get into some of the fan questions. We have a few this week, and we'll start with Francis Reyes. And he said, JR, do you think Mick was ahead of his time in WCW?
I don't know in what way. Hard for me to answer yes or no on that deal. Ahead of his time in what respect? He had his moveset that he did where it ended up with his hip on concrete a lot. But I don't know if he was ahead of his time or not.
Maybe his style, you know, his what he did from a risk, and they weren't used to accustomed to seeing someone with maybe his a high risk.
Maybe a hardcore styling or something like that might be applicable. But to say he was way ahead of his time, you know, I don't know if I could go that far.
Okay. Reigns and McIntyre, obviously big WWE fan, chimes in and says, was there ever a plan to make Cactus Jack WCW champion?
Well, if it was discussed, it wasn't discussed very long.
Okay.
Look, personality, you know, I never understood that, but that's what it was. So it may have been discussed, probably was, but not seriously, not for a very long time.
Batman Forever's up next, and he says, do you think Sting was Cactus Jack's greatest rival in WCW? I know we were just covering Vader, too, but do you think Sting would happen to be his greatest rival?
Well, he certainly went the top three or four, no doubt. Again, they had some classic matches. That's a fair question, and my answer would be a fair answer. Top three at least.
Okay. Drew in LA, the wealthy industrialist, asks, does WCW get enough credit for being the first promotion to bring hardcore style wrestling to mainstream audience?
Oh, time-wise, I don't know. It'd be close. But Mick was the hardest of the hardcore, and guys saw what was getting over, so some of them tried it. So, you know, maybe so. But we weren't the only one doing it. I mean, ECW was doing it and doing crazy things. You know, me and Devon, no, I'm kidding. I'm having fun with Bubba. I love Bubba.
I know you are.
Bubba Dudley and I have had a great rapport. I used to bullshit him about his calves. Yeah, Bubba's got great calf development.
He used to like to show them off there in TNA. He would flex those puppies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it was impressive.
Yeah.
So I'd always tell him, I said, Bubba, goddamn, you got to get back to the gym. Your calves are shrinking. You look at you like you're serious for 2 seconds. But anyway, I like to get Bubba here. He does a good job with Dave LaGreca and all the crew there at Busted Open Radio, Sirius XM. I wish I'd say a regular viewer, but now that I understand how to retrieve and the archive shows and things like that, I'm a little bit more accessible to it. I'm learning more technical sense than I heretofore had.
Okay.
Oh, you know, I like to, and it's just fun to listen to. It's good. It's good to hear what the fans are thinking, and I enjoy that.
Nice. So that's awesome. Hey, listen, when we talk about hardcore style and all kinds of fun stuff come up, we have a lot of fun stuff coming up right here. It's a big summer, Jim, here on Grilling JR. Next week, you're going to do a watch along of Raw is War from June 9th, 1997 in Hartford. It's the night after the King of the Ring, which saw Hunter Hearst Helmsley win the tournament. That's right, Triple H. But what's most notable about that show is what happened before the show when Brett and Sean got into it. We're here to find out all the dirt from UJR, and we'll call it a wrestling match of sorts backstage. I see your head shaking. I love it. And from there, it's go back to WCW. It's that Beach Blast 1992 we promised you, one of the first major shows of the Bill Watts era. You got the Steiners against two of your favorites, Terry Gordy and Steve Williams. Dr. Death in the main event, man. That's going to be a fun one.
You know, we talk about the golden tag match, like the Bucks and the Hardys, for example.
Yeah.
That we've recently featured. And gosh almighty, to me, my dream match was just what we just said.
Yeah.
Steiner's, Doc, and Gordy. Leather style. They brought it, man, more than anybody else that I can remember in that era, bringing it physicality wise, compelling action, wrestling, brawling, athleticism. They had it all. And all four men looked like that one could whip the other. It was just a great pairing. And I love that match. So that'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah, that has JR written all over it. So definitely you want to check that one out. Then from there, it's on to Hulk Hogan's roles in WWE from 2002 until he would eventually join Impact Wrestling. And they're going to close out the month of June with another Raw watch along. And that's from July 1st, 2002. You'll see Brock Lesnar versus Ric Flair for the first time ever. Chris Benoit returning to a WWE ring for the first time in close to a year. And then that main event ladder match is Undertaker and Jeff Hardy for the Undisputed title. So, man, there are some can't-miss episodes coming up for you right here on Grilling JR.
Yeah, good stuff on the way. A lot of my favorite things we're going to talk about. Hope the fans agree that you're interested enough to listen and watch. So it should be good. I love doing those watch-alongs. There's always things you see that you forgot that you can point out. Some are funny, some are wise-ass remarks, whatever case may be. But nonetheless, there's some really good content heading your way, folks, on that deal.
Absolutely. Some of my favorite stuff working with you, JR, is reliving some of those old clips that maybe you haven't seen in a long while and getting to watch you relive those again. It's just a lot of fun. So with that, check us out, adfreeshows.com. This is where you get to see the video and see those video clips and those watch-alongs on video and also get them without all the ads. Listen, we got lots of ads, and that's great. We love the companies that help support us, but you can get it early and ad-free over there, plus all the bonus and perks and Top Guy Weekend and all that good stuff.
So starting at $9 a month.
Can't beat it.
Are you kidding? I got a Starbucks the other day. It was $7.
Everything's $9 a month. $9 now. It's unbelievable.
So yeah, check it out, folks. That's starting at $9. You kidding? That's a hell of a deal.
We haven't kept up with inflation either. You know, like everybody else is. We're now like milk's like $10 or something. It's out of control. But with that, let's tell them what also is out there and available, and that's JRsBBQ.com. Grills are fired up all across the country. I know it's, so we got to get moving with your products, buddy.
When I get into Oklahoma in a few days, for a little R&R, after these California, Vegas trips and so forth, you can bet your ass that I'll be under my outdoor kitchen grilling at least once a day. And, I cook breakfast on my grill. I use my all-purpose seasoning for eggs, all those type things, seasoned bacon or ham.
You do sausage like kielbasa or anything?
Yeah,
like
that? Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah. A lot of protein.
Nice.
And so it's a season. And again, Father's Day is going to be here before you know it.
That's right.
Good opportunity to get you some nice, unique gifts for the wrestling fan and your family. And if you're a guy listening right now and you want a suggestion for your significant other, why don't you just tell them? Why don't you take their load off the decision-making and go, where am I going to shop? He's so hard to buy for, or she's so hard to buy for, whatever the case is, and check it out. A lot of different packages, different assortments that you can get. We're still signing a lot of books, personalizing them. That's kind of cool. So JRsBBQ.com. The store never sleeps, and it costs nothing to look.
Check it out. This is the perfect time to get ahead of your supply. The beginning of summer, take care of you for the rest of the summer and into the fall months with all that good stuff. JR, I envision you, your outdoor kitchen, pool is open. Man, yep. It just sounds like a great time, buddy.
Yeah, I got that Arn Anderson philosophy going. My fat looks better brown than white. It'll always be there.
That's right.
I believe in that one. I got a big 50-inch TV out there. Our friends come over and we watch ball games or whatever, especially during football season. And I got a Coke machine, old school, legit Coke machine, all decked out in OU stuff, Oklahoma University awesome. Thing. So I got a real cool little backyard set up, and
that's awesome.
I just don't get to use it often enough. But now that the weather's what the weather is, the COVID issues are what they are, the better. I'm really happy to be able to spend some more time back there, and we'll be spending more time in Oklahoma as time goes forward. That's always good to be home. Can't beat being home.
There you go. Sounds great. Well, JR, thank you for letting me be part of you here on this show, your home, Grilling JR, this week, covering all things Cactus Jack WCW. And on behalf of the voice of wrestling, Mr. Jim Ross, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you right back here again next week on Grilling JR.
We appreciate you guys very much. Don't never forget that. And we appreciate you watching us every week, telling your friends about our show. And as they say on, I think it's on, is it Pardon the Interruption? We'll do better next time.
PTI.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.